Good morning, everyone. My name is Rob. For those who do not know me, I am in charge of all things 11 to 18s here. I won't tell you what my title is because I don't really know. So, but that's what I do. It's my pleasure to be able to talk to you today on the last of a series, which we have been looking at sort of on and off since about April. And we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, if people have been here. And this is today's commandment. So I'll just read it to you and then we'll get stuck in. So, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. I didn't memorize that one. I memorized the last one because it was do not steal. But I haven't memorized this one. But anyway, the point is that I know what it means, so that's good. And I was in Norway last week, all expenses paid, trip to Norway. I got paid to go to a conference. I got the plane was paid for, the hotel was paid for. It was brilliant, but it costs £10 for a pint there, which is not good, really. So that's not good. But when I was there, two things came into mind because I knew that I was doing this this week. One was that I would go on about how amazing my trip to Norway had been and see if you were jealous, because I feel like coveting and jealousy are quite similar to each other. They're definitely hand in hand, if not the same thing. And the other thing that came into my mind while we were worshipping, actually we sang that I Just Want to Sing the Name of Jesus a lot, so that's been stuck in my head and now Beth's head, because I've been singing it to Beth kind of for the last week or so. But the other thing that came into my head was to, and I'm not going to do this, don't worry, but I was going to say, who is in a small group here, and get everyone to put their hands up. Who's in a small group or a fellowship group? I'm not asking you to. Don't worry. So, because Nicola's here, and if you don't want to be in a small group and you don't put your hand up, Nicola will come and fight you. Ask you gently if you want to be in a small group is what she will do. But what I thought I would do though is share a bit of my story. So this is possibly, for at least the foreseeable future, this could be the last time that I preach in ABC. So thank you. So I thought I'd be self-indulgent and share a bit of my story, and we'll see. Does it link into coveting or not, and how does it? So here we go. Also, by the way, I'm also trying to summarize all of the commandments at the same time. So coveting is kind of just like, it's there, but I'm not going to delve loads into it. So I'm just giving you a disclaimer right now. So here we go. I'm going to start my story quite late on in the story. This is the garage where I trained to be a youth worker. I did not train to be a youth worker there. That would be weird. I trained to be a mechanic there. So that was from when I was 17 till I was about 21. It's the first time it's in Hull as well, by the way, the epicenter of the universe, or the center of the universe, maybe. Hull. Go and check it out. If you haven't been to Hull, go to Hull. And it was the first time I had a proper wage. So I say a proper wage, £80 a week to start with, not a proper wage. As I was paid, obviously a lot of my money went on first learning to drive and then on making my car sound faster. Couldn't really afford to make it go faster, but I could make it sound faster, so that was good. When I turned 18, I passed my driving test on my 18th birthday. So that was quite a messy birthday, really. I discovered the pub. So I was in the pub quite a lot. I attended a Church of England church. I've been to this church since, my whole life, pretty much, till I was 21. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But basically, I was going to church. Doing my sacristan stuff. Does anyone know what a sacristan is? Anyone wanna? No? So this is a sacristan's duty. So someone has sacristaned us today by setting out communion for us. So that's what I used to do. Often I regret to say, pretty worse for wear from the night before. And so I was going to church. I was spending a lot of my time in the pub. So I was living like two lives, completely two lives. Like Sunday morning was different to pretty much the rest of the week. Phil knows what sort of environment a garage is like. It's a bit roughy-tufty. I learned many new words and how to string them together in ways I did not even know about before. But there was something stirring in me. So let's see what we've got next. Oh, we'll go back to that in a minute. I went on an alpha course when I was about 19-ish. I think 18, 19. And I was still... I still had a good relationship with a youth worker in the village. I was playing guitar and bass for Christian youth events each month. And then I joined a Christian rock band, which is this here. So that was our, I think that was our 10th anniversary. So at one point there was three electric guitarists on stage, three drummers, possibly three keyboard players at one point as well, just to see if we could make it happen. And if you guys, if anyone was at my wedding, you might recognize the bass player, but the whole band were there at my wedding, which was very, I mean, our wedding, sorry, Beth. it was just mine. Anyway, the band became friends, and slowly, God was at work until I found myself in a field in Thirsk, basically, where the band was playing New Wine North, which is now no longer, oh, there it is, ooh, which is no longer happening anymore. There's just New Wine, and that's it. But we were playing New Wine North, and I was stood roughly where that red circle is after being evacuated because of a fire involving plastic wristbands and an electric hob and a blind person. It was all very complicated. I can tell you another time, but not right now. And I found myself in the field here with the keyboard player, Richard. And I said to Richard, I've just finished my youth work degree. So I was 21 at this point. I don't really know what I'm going to do next in life. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to work. I feel very lost. And it almost felt like there was this temptation to revert to how I used to be. And Richard said to me, Rob, when you started in the band 4 or 5 years ago, you were a mechanic. You were living a life that wasn't really in line with what you've been taught on a Sunday morning. You were living a double life, really. And now you teach young people about Jesus. Your faith has grown massively. And I hadn't seen any of this. I'd just been like stuck in the fact that, you know, it's so gradual that you don't even notice a change in your life from what Jesus is doing in your life. Anyway, what does this have to do with coveting? That's a good question. So there is there's a few things I want to pick up on with the coveting before we go and look at the overall kind of, meta narrative of the Ten Commandments. But the first thing is that it does not allow us to be let off the hook, this commandment, okay? So it doesn't go, do not covet your neighbor's house and then leave it at that. And you're like, well, it's all right. You know, we like to go, I'm all right. Don't worry, I'm not coveting my neighbor's house. But it gives you a whole list of things. And I know that obviously we all are coveting our neighbor's donkey, The thing is, it gets to the emphasizing anything of your neighbor's, do not covet. And the other thing that it does is that it says our neighbor, and we're like, well, you know, my physical neighbor, I don't really care about his car, but that person I watch on YouTube, which Beth knows I watch a lot of YouTube, she's come to know. His car, oh, that's a very nice car, and I'll covet that car, but I won't covet my neighbour's car. And you're like, hang on, your neighbour, according to Jesus in the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, can be anyone, okay? So we're not let off the hook on that one either. So we're probably all coveting in some way or another, so it's not great. But what does it mean? What does coveting mean? Because I don't use the word covet often. Does anyone use the word covet on a regular basis? No? I thought you were saying yes, Katie. So it's a yearning to possess. And the message goes on to say, don't set your heart on anything that is your neighbor's. So it's like an intentional thing. And it's about really wanting it deeply, something that your neighbor has, to the point where you might be tempted to go around and nick their car, like that deep level of coveting. However, what we do know is that something really bizarre is happening here with the Ten Commandments, okay? So the first one, you shall have no other God before me. That could potentially be inside your head. That may not be shown on the outside, but realistically, if you're worshipping a God that isn't God, it will show itself in some way or another. So whether it's by all of the time you're spending in the pub rather than in church, that's almost worshipping alcohol. I use that because that's, I guess I didn't really think it was worshipping alcohol, but maybe it's a feeling you get from alcohol. But from that point onwards, up until the last one, all of these are physical. I would say we're sort of looking at a internal versus external sin thing going on here. So making an image, yeah, you can make an image, you know, it's physical. Bless you, whoever that was. Misusing God's name. I mean, people taught me that you could misuse Jesus' name in a lot of ways in the garage. Sabbathing. Obviously, if you're not spending time in Sabbath, you'll look quite worn out because you should have time to rest. I'm telling all of you, because all of you are very busy, stop not Sabbathing. Beth has told me off for this. Honor your mother and father. That might be an internal thing. You might sort of say one thing to them and then do something else, so that might be happening, but I would say it's physical. Murdering, committing adultery, stealing, false testimony, all things that are done sort of externally, outside the body. Coveting, do you ever go to someone and say, oi, stop coveting over there, stop coveting in the corner? You don't, do you? You don't see someone coveting necessarily, unless they're like staring at a car lustfully. I don't know why I keep bringing up cars, and don't know. Anyway, so we have this internal versus external thing going on. And the thing that the whole of Exodus, so not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole of Exodus is addressing, as my Old Testament lecturer kept telling me, it's about the condition of the Israelites' hearts. So the Israelites have become hard to God. They've put a barrier up to God. And it's really, when you read Exodus, it's really frustrating because God does something really incredible, really amazing. And then it feels like 5 minutes later, it's probably not 5 minutes later, like the Israelites are just going back to their old ways and they're just completely turned away from God and they're just doing their own thing. And then like God does something incredible and they're like, oh, wow, amazing. And like he makes food come out of the sky. And they're like, and then they forget about it. Could you imagine forgetting about food coming out of the sky? It's crazy. And at the moment, me and Beth are reading through Kings, and it's like one king comes and he does something amazing, and you're like, oh yes, there is hope now for the Israelites. And then the next one is just does something just terrible. And we read last night about three kings. One that said he'd sinned worse than anyone before him. And then the next one, he'd sinned even worse than that guy. And then the last one, it's like, his sins were so great that he made the other ones look like they were just messing about sinning. It was like so huge. And this is the thing that the Ten Commandments are getting to. It's saying we need to check the condition of our heart. How soft are we to God? How likely are we to follow him? And I say this to you, not as someone who has this all sorted, by the way, but as someone who has to regularly say to God, God, soften my heart towards you. Whether that's in the car, shouting at people, which sometimes happens, or whatever it is, it's when you catch yourself like unaware that your heart has become hard to God, that it's become unreceptive, that we need to say, God, soften my heart, come to me and get rid of those barriers between us and help me to be receptive to you. Help me to remember when you made food come out of the sky. It's that sort of thing. So how do we do that? Well, this is a good clue. This is a wedding photo. which was amazing. So thank you for everyone who made that day special. But it's about community. So coming back to my story, why did I start going off on one about being a mechanic? Why did I go off on one about saying how far I'd got away from God? What was that to do with coveting about the condition of the heart? Well, throughout that, the time when I would say my heart started to change, my life started to slowly transform, was being in that band and being in community. And that band, they saw warts and all. We used to go away together, and they'd see me with like people who were being in a relationship with someone who was unsuitable for me, who was kind of leading me down this wrong path. They saw all that. Did they ever say, "Oh, Rob, you need to stop that. That's going to hurt you"? No, but they did in the way that they prayed, in the way they lived with me. They slowly warmed me up to Jesus in a way. And what I'd say is that we can do better than that. You know, if you're not in a small group or a community of some kind where you can say to someone, "Look, these hidden sins I have, this coveting that I'm doing over here, is a problem. Can you pray for me? Because I need to be released from this." It might be that there's an addiction in your life that you're hiding from people. You need that safe space to be able to have a small group where people can challenge you on those things, where people can work with you on those things, soften your heart by praying for you and living life with you. And that's what I would say is the whole point of the Ten Commandments. It teaches us how to live in relationship with God in a way where we're receptive to him and where we want to follow him. But to do that, we need a community around us as well. The Israelites, when they sent the spies off to look at the promised land, they came back and there was two who were like, "Yeah, we should go for this, even though it's scary." And the rest of them were like, "No, we can't do this. It's terrible." You don't need that. You don't need naysayers. You need people in your life who are going to encourage you and are going to build you up. And that is why my heart has been changed. It was because people stood by me and allowed me to say, "This rubbish is going on in my life. I'm doing this. Can you pray for me?" And I'm not perfect, obviously. I'm close, but not perfect. But it's still having that community is the most important thing, where you can be real and you can work through these things with God. And you can learn to have your heart softened for God. So we're going to have communion in a couple of minutes. I'm pretty much finished. Just so Howland has some notice. And I suppose really communion is about saying those things that we've put between you and me, God, those things that have hardened my heart, I'm sorry for those things and I'm giving them back over to you now. And also, it's about being in fellowship with each other. I don't know if anyone grown up in a church or England church? Give me any hands. Yeah, did you guys used to do the piece that was all a bit awkward, but like also brilliant at the same time? And it really freaked like some people out if you went to hug them instead of shake their hand. They're like, oh no, I'll shake your hand, but I won't go that far. Anyway, if you guys want to say peace be with you to the person next to you while we're sharing communion, and it's about like hitting a reset button, isn't it? You know, with God, like saying, "I put all that over there, that is done with, you've dealt with that," and it's about having our heart softened again, and that can be with the people around us as well, you know. So I was going to say, if you've got a problem with someone in the church, go and shake their hand, but then they'll know you've got a problem with them. So maybe don't do that. So maybe that's too real for this morning. But I'll leave on that. I like that better. So let me pray for us, and then Howard will come up and lead communion. So, Father God, we thank you that we are in a community here of people who love us and love you. And we pray that you help us to press deeper into that community, that you help us to surrender all the things that are holding us back to you, You help us to know that you are in the midst of anything that we are going through. Soften our hearts to you, Lord Jesus. Help us to hear what you have to say to us. Bless us, Lord, and help us to go deeper with you. Please can this not be a temporary thing, but please can this be the gradual transforming of our hearts. Come and meet with us now as we have communion together, as we share food and drink together, and help us to truly know that our sins have been forgiven and that we're washed clean. In the name of Jesus, amen.